A preacher not preaching for 3 months means that he's got a lot to say. The problem is, I don't have what it takes to put it all into understandable format and maybe even strength to do it. But something that the Lord has been dealing with me and speaking to me about, drawing my attention to over the past, I don't know if I should say all 3 months or not, but it's been a while, is what I want to share with you this morning. I want to call your attention to this morning. Will you bow your head with me as we ask God for his help? Father, thank you this morning for the call to preach your word. And I pray now that you would anoint me to be able to do what I can do. But then, Father, I pray that you will do what I cannot do. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I think there's a lot of things that we don't pay attention to in Scripture. Now, when I say those words, a lot of things, that doesn't mean I'm going to try to cover all of them. I saw recently where somebody posted something on Facebook about how God will provide everything and put you in a position of prosperity, and you don't ever have to ask, and you don't ever have to do a number of things. And my first response, and I almost posted it, but you know, if you know me and Facebook, I don't want to get into a whole bunch of arguments all across the board on Facebook, and so I didn't. But my first thought was, poor Lazarus, who sat at the rich man's gate. Nobody told him about that prosperity gospel. Some things we don't pay attention to in Scripture would be that Jesus taught us that in order to be faithful in big things, we'll have proven ourselves to be faithful in little things. It's easy to forget that. It's easy to get around that. The thing that I'm troubled about this morning is that sometimes we don't pay attention to the last portion of the verse that is found in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 27, where the writer of Hebrews tells us, but after this, the judgment. The first part of the verse, we understand. We all grasp it, that it's appointed unto man once to die, that there's coming a point in time in all of our lives when our last breath will be taken, the last beat of our heart will happen, and life as we know it ends. We know that that's a part of it. We understand that. We've heard and seen the statistics that 100% of us want to go out that way, unless Jesus comes back and calls his bride, the church. But after this, the judgment. What is this judgment? Oh yes, we understand judgment when we think about Stalin. Surely Stalin needs to be judged. There's no doubt in probably any one of our minds, if we've read anything about history and that history that surrounds Joseph Stalin, that we understand that he certainly needs to be judged. And then we have old Hitler. You know, Hitler's name comes up a lot in today's politics. Sometimes in the midst of conversation and using his name today, we misrepresent how horrible of a man he really was. Wicked to the core. Now, he wasn't so wicked that God couldn't save him or wouldn't save him. We don't really, as far as I know, have any indication anywhere in history that he repented of his sins. But if he did, if he would have done so, God, for Christ's sake, would have forgiven him. But when we think about the atrocities that surround this particular man, It goes deep. Surely Adolf Hitler needs to be judged. Who are you thinking about this morning that needs to be judged? I can't help but think about a man that's closer to home. He's not across the seas somewhere, but his name is known to us, probably the majority of us, as Timothy McVeigh. The depths of his depravity, the darkness of his mind to do what he did, to take the lives of, what was it, 168, 69 people. In a snap of a finger. Certainly, this Timothy McVeigh needs to be judged. But again, that's a distant individual. That's somebody out there somewhere in the surrounding territory of our world and of our mind or of our country that has done some great disastrous deed or deeds, and we know that they need to be judged, and we hope that they are judged. We long for justice to be done. Then there's that person, that drunk driver who took out someone's family member that's getting closer to home. And if we get a little bit closer even than that to home, we would even be looking perhaps personally at that person that did me wrong, that hurt me. That person needs to be judged. We've developed the perception that somebody needs to be dealt with because of the damage that has been done to me, or the hurt that's been caused to my heart, and that person needs to be judged. We need justice. I need justice. The Hebrew writer says and warns us and reminds us that we will all die someday, and after that last breath is taken and that last beat of the heart takes place, that there is a judgment that follows. That includes you and that includes me. So when we look about and we talk about this particular judgment and the need for justice, what about me? What about you? One of the things about this particular judgment that the Hebrew writer is talking about and records for us is that God keeps perfect records, and when He keeps perfect records, it means that He is looking deeper than the surface. He can see through the darkness, and He uncovers the cloak of my own righteousness, of my own goodness. He uncovers the cloak of my justification, of my deeds, of my ideas, and He even uncovers the cloak of my own perceptions. Because God keeps perfect record. He sees if we are apathetic towards His Word. He sees if we are apathetic towards His holiness. He recognizes our faithfulness to ourselves and our unwillingness to yield to Him. He cries when we express lethargy and sleepiness in our efforts to live for Him, but we have high energy when pursuing our own endeavors. Spiritual lethargy is dangerous. You see, spiritual lethargy is as dangerous as disobedience, because spiritual lethargy will lead to disobedience. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. Spiritual lethargy will lead to disobedience. There's a lot of examples that we can look at. I could name a number of people that I have known in just my 50 plus years of life, and I can look at them and I can realize that spiritual lethargy was the beginning or the fatal turning of their lives to disobedience and departure from the truth. It won't be any different for you. Scripture bears it out that they were five wise foolish and five wise virgins and five foolish virgins. And we are made to understand that there was a bit of lethargy going on, but there was five of them that were prepared in the midst of all of that circumstance and the midst of that story, that they were aroused from that lethargy and they trimmed their lamps. They recognized the importance of the hour. And there were five of them that were foolish, that they didn't prepare. They were not ready for that time. Their lethargy had gotten the best of them and they were unprepared. And when the door was shut, you can read about it in Matthew chapter 25. The door was shut in verse 10. See, when God keeps perfect record, he sees that when we do our best to avoid his precepts and seek counsel from people rather than looking at his word, we ignore his word, and he keeps perfect record. Of us avoiding instead of opening. Hiding from instead of seeking him. We don't know much about this man Demas that the Apostle Paul writes about. We don't know much about him at all. We don't see a whole lot of record. But when he's writing to Timothy in his second epistle to Timothy in chapter 4, all that we can understand here is that Demas was sidetracked by something of this world. He said in the King James translation, "Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." Isn't that a tragedy? Now, I know that there's a lot of speculation that I can do here, and I'm not saying that my speculation is absolutely correct and accurate, but I kind of wonder, looking at people today, if Demas didn't get his eyes on somebody else or his ears tuned to somebody else, and he began to take counsel from them instead of looking at God's word. Instead of listening to the message of the apostle about God and his holiness and following after God and his holiness, he got his eyes off, his ears tuned to some other voice, and he found out that he could forsake Paul because there was this present world that was calling him and he could do better out there. I don't know all those ins and outs, but I do know that Paul says that Demas lost sight of what he should have been seeing. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9 gives us a picture of where we stand. Jeremiah 17:9, here's the Old Testament prophet that is giving a picture and a glimpse into the very heart of humanity, and that includes every single one of us. The New Testament tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. And so when we look at the New Testament words there in those particular passages, and then we recognize what this prophet Jeremiah was saying in the Old Testament, he said that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And then he gives this suggestion here. More than a suggestion, he nails it and he lays it out wide open. He said, we don't even understand the depths of our depravity. No, that's not exactly the words that King James says, but that's what he's saying. He said, who can know it? Have you ever stopped and looked at the ugliness of the heart of mankind? Oh yes, we've seen it. We understand Stalin and Hitler and McVeigh and all of those other people that come to our mind. We know how dark they can be. But we fail to realize that there go I, but by the grace of God. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Let me remind you again of the Hebrew writer that it is appointed unto us once to die, and then after this, the judgment. Not Stalin's judgment, not Hitler's judgment, not McVeigh's judgment, not that person that hurt you or did something against you, not that person's judgment, but your judgment, my judgment. Now, the good news is that God has a remedy that prepares us for that judgment. We sang about it this morning. We heard about it this morning. God has a remedy. He says, follow me and be my disciple. He welcomes us, as is recorded in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. He said, come and open the door. I'm knocking at your heart's door. And if you open the door, I will come in and I will fellowship with you and you with me. He said in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, God provides us a remedy. So when we think about the judgment that is sure to come, we have to ask ourselves, if we're going to be faithful to our own soul, we're going to have to ask ourselves some questions. Number one, are my sins forgiven? Do I know that my sins are forgiven? Do I know that my name is written in the Lamb's book of life, in His book of the redeemed? Another question that we need to ask ourselves is that, am I faithful in walking in the light of God's Word? That's a deep one, folks. Because there's far too many people that are ignoring God's Word and they claim to be walking in the light. Or they're looking at a particular verse and they fail to look at the other 10 verses that may deal with the subject. They get lost in the prosperity gospel and fail to realize that there's more to it than just simply a fast lane, loose traveling. Jesus says that there's two gates, one narrow and one wide, one easy and one difficult. Many people find the easy one and few people find the difficult one. It's not that people can't, it's that they won't. It's there. Scripture gives it to us. Am I faithful in walking in the light of God's Word? Am I faithful in walking in the light that God's given to me personally? So when we answer those questions with honesty, as the old time preachers used to say, with eternity, honesty in eternity's values, and standing before God kind of honesty, where He sees and He has the record, the perfect record, we ask ourselves this question: are you ready for this judgment? Are you ready for this judgment that the Hebrew writer is telling us about? Because that is the most important thing. The judgment. Not those people that are out there somewhere, but me. And God has provided a remedy so that we can be ready. So that we can be ready. John records for us, as I've already given unto you, that if we confess, He is faithful and just. The songwriter penned the words to the song that she's playing. just as I am without one plea. Empty of self. Empty of my own desires. I can come to Him and know that He will abundantly pardon and forgive and make us ready for His judgment. Would you stand with me this morning with your heads bowed, please? Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to hearts that are around you this morning and even to your heart. I'm not going to delay long here. I'm not going to wait a long time. But if you have a spiritual need this morning, it may be cloaked. It may be shielded, shrouded in some outward facade. If the Holy Spirit's prodding below that facade and looking at the depths of the heart, it's more than a Facebook post. Are you ready? Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life this morning? Are you walking in the light as He is in the light? Do you have fellowship with Him? It's not a light matter. It's not something to cast off. It's something to seriously consider for our spiritual well-being this morning. She's playing it through one more time. If you don't come, we will go. Our Father in heaven, thank you today for your rich grace to us. Thank you for the beauty of the Lord's day, the privilege of the Lord's day. Thank you for your presence this morning. Thank you for your help in doing what I could do. And I look to your faithfulness, even unseen, to do what you only can do, speak to hearts. Our hearts. Give us a good day in you today. Bless, we pray. Help us in the services this evening. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You're dismissed.